Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, this last week, it's been a week now, by the way. I checked this morning, and America is still in the same place it was yesterday and last week. Just want to make sure everybody knows that. It's been a week since this whole incident took place. We'll call this the election. That has made everybody completely uncomfortable. That's made everybody upset and whiny. And by everybody, I mean a large swath of younger people on the left-hand side of the aisle who feel the need to march and whine and moan on the street. And it's interesting as I watch this whole thing unravel. And that's kind of what's happening now. It's unraveling. And Anthony's pointed out something to me that's so real, which is this is going to be a lot like Occupy. Right? This is going to be like a Black Lives Matter. This is going to be a movement with no end in sight and no direction. That's what you're going to get in this. A movement with no end in sight, no direction. You're going to have people that are wanting and hoping for something, of which all of these people are going to be wanting and hoping for something. The thing is, all of them are there for narcissistic ways because they're only wanting and hoping for something for themselves. If other people get what they want to, that's great. But by and large, it's mostly about themselves. Because that's the culture we've created. A younger generation doesn't get it. As I've looked around and I've talked to a younger generation and I've seen it. My little sister's a millennial. She's like, you know, she's 21 years old. She's got a lot of friends that are, you know, in their early 20s. She is a millennial. She doesn't quite get it either. Why they're always pissed, why they're upset, why they're bitching, why they're moaning. And as we dissected this morning, we started talking about all these things as we do early in the morning, as we start to go through the show and plan it out. I said to myself, I said, what's the end game? Like, that's to me, is if you've got something that you want done, then you have to have an end game of something you want. Being pissed at somebody is not an end game. You want to change things, you have to change things. You have to enact some sort of plan to change what you want changed. Going out and whining, going out and bitching, going out and moaning, going out and throwing a fit. But then I started thinking to myself, but that's who this generation is. You know, my generation, the baby boomers, the greatest generation, I'm Gen X, by the way, for those of you not keeping score.
And people try to put you down.
They do. They do. But our generation, right? So you look at all of the generations. Each one of them had a toughness about it. Maybe there was we did have the baby boomers who did lead the Vietnam demonstrations, who did, you know, start to signal a voice of change in a lot of ways. Haight-Ashbury, all that kind of stuff up in San Francisco and across the country and which was great, right? But there was a cause for something. When people marched for equality, there was a cause for something. When they were against Vietnam, there was a cause for something. And there was a singular thing that they wanted to take in place, right? They wanted to get out of Vietnam. They wanted to integrate. There were things that they wanted done. There was an end game. And they were led by people who had the kind of understanding of almost in ways, and to do this successfully, to be businesslike, and they wanted to end something. They wanted to expand something. There was something there at the end. Whining is not winning. This generation is a generation that is about whining. They're a generation that gets everything they want. Mom and dad have shielded them from everything. The same thing that they complain about every single day, white privilege, you know, income inequality, et cetera, et cetera. Most of these kids out there, they're living all of those things. They have taken advantage of all of those things. But they've always gotten trophies. There's always been a winner to what it is that they do, right? So, and by that, I mean everybody on the field wins. We're all getting a trophy. Even if it says participant on it, we're getting a trophy. There is no keeping score. So this last week, this was a shock to the souffle. This, whoa! That's what this was. I mean, this was, you know, You got punched in the gullet. This is what this was. And when you're not used to getting everything, when you're used to getting everything you want and you're not used to losing because there's not winners and losers where you come from, you see how this goes. You see the uncomfortableness. They've never been in a position where they didn't think something was going to happen because mom and dad have always shielded them, have always helped them. And if they didn't win, whether they're playing a video game or doing something else, they could always hit the reset button. There is none of that here. There's no reset button. There is no winning tomorrow. There is no participant trophy. There's none of those things. And it's not just about them. It's in many ways, it's about the way they were raised. That's caused a lot of this. The things that have happened in school that's caused a lot of this. The way that they've been taught. These are the things that I don't think people understand. It's like we talked about last week about, sexism in school and we're always pointing, fingers at the sports. And I said, hey, you know what? Why don't you start pointing fingers at the athletes' parents? How were they raised? Well, it's the same thing here. You could point your finger and say, You've given these kids trophies and everything they've done. You've always told them, hey, your artwork's amazing. I'm putting it right on the refrigerator, right? You've always done these things, and very rarely have you even allowed most of these kids to play a damn sport. Sport's about winning and losing. It's about you learn the sport as you grow up, right? Whatever it is. At first, it's about learning the fundamentals. But that's going to be there's frustration there, right? Because it doesn't come easy and it's tough and you're learning and you have to overcome and you have to achieve. But then along the way, it's about winning or losing. And I have said this over and over again. Character is built in losses. When everybody wins, you can't build character. How do you handle yourself when you fall down? How do you handle yourself when things go south for you? How do you handle yourself when chips are against the wall and you know what? This time isn't yours. How do you handle yourself? This younger generation handles themselves in a way that is almost completely un-American. It is whining. It is bitching. It is moaning. It is throwing a fit. It is trying to change the outcome of something because your feelings have been hurt. If you want to affect change, if you are upset about this, then how are you going to do that? Crying isn't going to get it done. Marching and telling Trump to F off isn't going to get it done. You affect change by getting out there and saying, I've got midterms coming up, not for school, but for elections, and I'm going to campaign for people who I believe have my best interest and America's best interest in heart, and I'm going to go after those kind of people, and I'm going to campaign for them. I'm going to do everything I can to get them in a position where they have power and they'll carry my message to Washington, my message to the state capitol. That is how you affect change. Whining doesn't do it. When I lose, I want to figure out why I lost. Could I have done something different? Was this, whatever it is. When I was a kid growing up, let me tell you something. The hardest lessons that I learned and the best lessons were in my losses. Victories are easy, right? Nobody's sad during victories, but the losses is where I grew as a person, as an individual. And I remember when I was playing for my local team, my club team, when I was a kid, we were so good. It was no fun. We were 12 and 13 year olds and we played in the under 18 league because the kids that were our age, it was no fun. We would beat them. We'd put 20 goals up on them. And I remember we had never faced any kind of real tough test. And when we moved up to the under 18s, and I think we had like two 14-year-olds on our team, a bunch of 13-year-olds. The first game we played was this team called the San Pedro Blue Jacks, and they thumped us. They beat us 10-0. Now, granted, mom and dad are driving us to the game. These guys are driving themselves to the game. But we learned along the way. And the next time we play them, they beat us, but they beat us 2-0. Through all of these things, within 2 years, we were still all 14, 15, 16. We were playing grown men and we were thumping them. But we learned to take a beating for these years because it made us better. These kids have never faced adversity. These kids have never faced loss. They've never faced any of these things. All they've ever faced is participation and feelings. The character that will come from a loss shows a lot about who somebody is. That character can be whiny, can be bitchy, could be moany, which is the new Rice Krispie trio, or it could be somebody does exactly what Nat King Cole said, you know, pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you start all over again. Now, we have got, he doesn't want to identify himself. His name is John Doe. That's what we're going with. He's on the line right now, and we're going to interview him and talk about what it is that he's looking for from a lot of these marches. And he's been marching in both New York. He's been in Portland. John, so here you are. You are out there. You're marching. You're trying to do all of these kind of things to affect some sort of change. What is it you're looking for now? Okay. So you're looking for Trump to step down because you think he's a bad individual. Why do you think Trump? I get that. I get it. Oh my goodness. Look, man. I understand what you're saying. You're upset. You're worried about all of these things. But you want him to step down, and he's won fair and square. What do you say to the fact that we have a constitution? Constitution says this is the way it's done. How does that make you feel? Wow, that is sad. So you don't care about the Constitution. You don't care about any of the things that we hold, you know, true and tried. Had Hillary won the election, how would you feel? So you're fine with it then? Absolutely. I get it. John Doe, I appreciate that. Have fun, doing whatever it is you're doing tonight and whining wherever you're whining. We appreciate you coming on the show. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com, and check out the website, chadbensonshow.com. Infighting, knife fighting, they're calling it. Craziness going on the transition team, and I'll tell you why that's a good thing. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
So, Donald Trump, you see the headlines everywhere. His administration is, isn't even started yet, and there's knife fights, they're calling it, inside of this whole transition team, and Christie's been asked out, and Ben Carson doesn't look like he's going along for the ride, and you've got all of these problems, and who's this Bannon guy, and he's the leader of the white nationalists, and you've got Reince Priebus, who is now going to be the, you know, chief of staff, et cetera, et cetera. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Donald Trump comes from a world of competition. All you snowflake generation out there, you're going to want to gather around. This may not be you, but you can tell your friends. Competition is a great thing. It's good to have some tension. It's good to have some infighting every once in a while. It's good to have that because it shows that there's passion. Donald Trump likes people who impress him. Donald Trump, the reason he's successful, and if you find most people out there who are successful and you ask them why you're successful, they'll tell you, yes, I've got drive. Yes, I've got a determination. Yes, I've got vision. But yes, I have surrounded myself with people who are competent and who are great at what they do, and I let them do that. And in some places, like where he is and where he's currently, where he's going to be is, competition is going to be a good thing. There's nothing wrong with a little competition. There's nothing wrong with a little friction. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said yesterday, you go back through time and you find the greatest business people and business minds who've built businesses. You find great athletes. You find all of these things, great musicians and bands. You'll find there was friction among them. But when they came together, they did the things that were best. You need that. You need a descending voice always. You need somebody who is going to have the best interest of you. For him, it's having a descending voice, which is, I think, one of the reasons he likes having the kids around, because I think they will have that, and they're not afraid to push back what others may be. And the other thing is having that friction in there, that competition. I think it's a good thing. He comes from a world of competition. All of you out there who are successful, you come from a world of competition. Your neighbor, right, in your cube, he or she wants to do better than you're doing. The companies you're marketing against want to do better than you. Competition is a good thing. Well, Chad, we don't want that. Yes, we do want that. We want people to bring the best ideas to the soon-to-be president and deliver the best ideas for the country moving forward for all of us. We want that. What we don't want is what we've had for every president basically we've ever had, which is a bunch of yes men running around kissing the president's ass. We want pushback. I think it's good to have conflict. I think it's good to have open dialogue. I think it's good to have some infighting. Now, there's a difference between having a difference of opinion, but realizing that we're both on the same team. And I think what you're going to find is Bannon, if you don't know who the guy is, just know that he's the president whisperer. And Reince Priebus, who was the guy that ran the Republican Party, they're going to fight a lot. They're going to bump heads, because I think Bannon has some ideas that he would like to get out there that are probably a little bit more radical in nature, a little bit more conservative, may scare some people. But he helped Trump, and some of his ideas help him get elected, where Reince Priebus is going to have more traditional views and what he wants to do moving forward and how he wants to take the country. They're going to butt heads. It's not a bad thing. And just because you butt heads doesn't mean you can't part as friends and doesn't mean you still can't be friends once you're done for the day. It's a good thing. The knife fight. Don't be confused by it when you see it. Oh, they're already infighting. They're already doing this. They're already doing that. No, what they're doing is they're jockeying for position to get the ear of the president. And the last person to get the ear may be the one the president goes with. But it's good to have a little conflict. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. Planned Parenthood. The fight begins.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The fight is going to brew. What social issue is going to cause for more people to take the streets? I'm hearing they're already going to have a million woman march in January. It could be right around the time that he is going to be sworn in. This is going to happen. Understand, something is going to happen. There's going to be a social thing that is going to take place between this new administration coming in and people out there, and they will take to the streets again. I'll say this. I think that there's not going to be, he's not even president yet, and people are already taken to the streets. What's it going to be like when he is president and people don't like what he's done? What is it going to be? Now, yesterday, or 60 Minutes, he said gay marriage. Now, look, they've spoken. It's over. It's done. It's dusted. We're moving on. The Supreme Court has spoken. A lot of people are looking at Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade is the thing that people are looking at. Roe v. Wade. What's going to happen? Will women have their chance to choose, or is that going to be taken away from them? Is it going to be a state thing? Is it going to be a national thing? Oh, my God. What's going to take place? Now, if you've listened to my show before, I'm very open and honest with you. I think choice should be left alone. While it would not be a choice that I would want to make, and I don't think many women out there want to make that choice, and they don't make it with an easy heart, I look at it like that's for you to decide. That's not for me. I'm not here to judge you. I wasn't put on earth to be the judge and jury of you. I was put on earth to try to make, everybody's life a little less annoying for a little while. That's pretty much that was it. You're less annoying, guy, says God. And then away I go. Planned Parenthood, and as we talked about this today in our meeting, I said, you know, is it the money, the federal money that bugs everybody? Is it a person's right to choose? Is it about control? What is it that drives everything? Well, it's the sanctity of life. Okay, so we've got people out there for this, and you've got people out there for that. It's about, I don't want federal money going to something. And look, I have always said, your choice, my dollar. That's it. And I've also been very honest about the fact that, which you won't hear from a lot of radio hosts, that Planned Parenthood does a lot of other things, mostly other things, that have nothing to do with abortion. Mammograms, pap smears. In some of them, they treat men for all kinds of stuff. It's not just vasectomies, things like that. It's not just abortions. It's not. But that's it. It's a one-hit wonder. That's what they are. They may have 20 albums out, but you only remember the one hit they had. Well, that's what Planned Parenthood is. They do 100 different things, but you only know the one thing they do. So what's going to happen? Truth is, I don't think anybody really knows until a state decides they want to challenge something. Could be a state in the South, could be Texas. Somebody's going to challenge something, and from there, we'll see what takes place. For a lot of people, this election was about the Supreme Court and who was going to control the Supreme Court for the next 2 decades, 5 decades, 10. Whoever you talk to, they threw out a new decade. Oh my God, it's going to be for the next 45 years. For a lot of people, this is what it was about. When I get people, and people will write me and they'll be mad at me. And they'll be angry with me because I am not that guy. Chad, you don't believe in the sanctity of life? I didn't say that. What I did say is I believe that that's up to everybody else's individual choice. And I do not want to take somebody's choice away for something. And the reason is because I'm not here to be a judge, a jury, or an executioner. I'm not here for any of those things. Human beings have choice. And in this country, we're fortunate enough that we have choices for a lot of things. I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I want to tell you any of those things. I'm not going to stop being your friend if you choose to do something like that. Because I've had friends that have done stuff like that. I've had friends who have had abortions. And you know what? They're still my friends. I still care for them. I don't look at them any differently. That's a choice that they made in their life because it was the right decision for them, they thought, at that time. So is it the money? Is it the federal side of thing? Is it control? I'll tell you who's going to contact me. Whenever people get pissed and mad at me, I'll get 50 different texts and emails. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And it's usually the same person. It's an angry male in his 60s who wants things to be the way they were and wants the control over something. That's what it is. And they'll hide behind whatever they think they can hide behind. I'm not here to take away people's choice. That wasn't my thing. I tell you how I feel. But it is, I think Roe v. Wade, more so than marriage equality, may be challenged. And then it'll be a state decision. And I've said this all along. I am a huge fan of states having the rights, far more than federal. That's why I like the 4-4 Supreme Court. Because you know when something goes 7-1 or 6-2 or 8-0, you know that that's the right side of the law. Right? That's the way that they probably got that one right. Well, on the opposite side, when it's 4-4, it's politics. It's your left-leaning. I'm looking at it with the left eye open. You're looking at it with the right eye open. And we see two different things. I think my way's right. You think your way's right. Blah, 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 blah. That's politics. But the good thing is when it's 4-4, what's it do? It goes back to the states. Whatever the states say, that's what goes. But this is going to be challenged. When I talk to people, they all give me a different... Some people, it's the sanctity of life. And I get that. I'm not here to challenge your belief. For some people, it is, I don't want to pay for somebody something or other. For some people, it's control. Fear that, you know, women have too much power and it's their bodies and this, that, and the other. And it's control. Everybody's got a different look and view at it. What I know is it's not my body. I don't want somebody to come tell me I can't get more tattoos. I don't want somebody to come tell me I can't do this, that, and the other with my body. And that even goes so far as, hey, if I'm not hurting anybody and I'm inside my house and I want to do some drugs, I don't want somebody to tell me you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do that. Because I think it's stupid. It's your body and you're not hurting somebody. Knock yourself out. Notice that a lot of these things in life are about control, though. We have a nation that is shifting in look at the last census. Look at where we are going in this country. We are shifting. The demographics are shifting. The millennials are the largest group out there right now. There's a changing demographics that's happening. There's a shift in we're becoming a browner nation. Whether you want to like that or not, there's a lot of things that go into this. But when I talk to people about Planned Parenthood, they get upset, they get pissed, they get angry, and I get that. And this is one of those subjects where people get fired up because they believe their viewpoint is the only viewpoint. And this is what I tell people. Be open-minded to hearing what somebody has to say. And not only when you hear, listen to what they have to say. And what I mean by that is we always hear people, but sometimes it's just noise and we never take anything in because we've got our belief system up and that's blocking us listening to what they have to say. Some of you listening out there, you've had to make that choice when you were younger. Some of you listening out there were with somebody who had to make that choice. You were too young. You couldn't afford it. For conservatives, it's a lot of different reasons. As much as everybody thinks it's always about the sanctity of life, for some people, it's just, I don't want to pay for it. And for some, it is about old times, control, and things of that nature. Women's places in the home, those kind of things. This will be the thing, I think, that will be tested in the court system because the state will test this. I think the appetite for marriage equality, I don't think people care. I think people have looked, oh, and it's been over a year, and they're totally fine. The world's not come and fallen apart. Guess what? You know, gay men and women being married hasn't stopped or caused more divorces, didn't ruin marriages. But I think this is going to be the one that tests. And I want to see how his, and to me, I don't think it's going to be Donald. I think Pence is going to be the leader in these kind of things. Because I think Donald is going to be, I want to fix certain things and I want to do the best that I can to get the country going in the right direction. I think some of these other people who lead through ideology are going to be the ones that lead this. And there's going to be a state out there that tests this at some point in time. And I'll shout and I'll scream because while I myself wouldn't want to make that choice, wouldn't do that, wouldn't want to, believe there's another way, I don't want to take anybody else's choice away because I don't think that's what we're about in this country. And everybody's got a different viewpoint on this. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks and months because this to me is the one thing that I think will have some sort of challenge. Will he withstand it? Will they cave to it? Find out. We will. You know what you should do? You should find out why Phil and I are as devilishly handsome as anybody in the radio industry. And it's not just because Phil and I are just basically the most awesome guys ever. No, kids. It's because we get a little help from Super Beats. I want to talk about blood flow. We know healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. And yes, we are aging extremely well. So there's a natural way out there to help blood flow and support your blood flow naturally, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body and convert those things to nitric oxide. Super Beats is the way I choose to do that, and that's why I'm doubly, triple handsome. That's why. You probably want to know why, hey, Chad, why aren't I as handsome as everybody else? Well, it's because you need to take some Super Beats, kids. That's why. It'll help your blood flow. Help that healthy heart. Make it even healthier. That blood pressure, bam. Plus, it gives you stamina, and it gives you tons of energy. Phil, why are you super handsome?
Because I take Super Beats. I just took it right before the show. Take it in the morning instead of coffee now. And like I said yesterday, had a little bit of coffee that I haven't been drinking for a while. Get all shaky and jittery. Don't get it with Super Beats, and I don't get a crash afterwards. And for someone who doesn't like beets, I love the taste.
There you go, kids. I mean, that's it. You want to be handsome? You want to be healthy? Super Beats is the way to go. Right now, what they're doing is they're giving you a chance to get a 30-day supply free with your first order. Plus, you're going to get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats to make sure it's working in your body. This is great, too. You're going to get a book called Beat the Odds, and all of this comes to you with free shipping. It's guaranteed or your money back. That's right. I said it, guaranteed your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. By the way, we spell Beats, B-E-E-T-S, simple and easy, or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works. It'll make you feel better. It'll give you energy and stamina and probably take you from a solid 6 to a solid 8. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. The Chad Benson Show.
Here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It turns 30 today. Is that correct, Mr. Phil?
30 years ago today.
License to Ill came out, and all of a sudden we were really... You know, for a lot of us, the first rappers that we can remember that were huge, because you had like the Sugar Hill Gang, and you had some that came out, but it was as a kid growing up, there were two rappers that were like, they were massive, two groups. That was the Beastie Boys, crazy white kids that were punk rock at one time, and Run DMC.
Right on.
And both of them have lost a member, but it turns 30 today. And that, man, does that age you? Do you just feel like old as can be?
I remember the first year graduating high school, sitting in the apartment on the beach with my two closest friends, just jamming out to this album.
It is it was amazing. The whole thing was amazing. They were totally different. And the thing more so than I think anybody else is the way that they transcended through musical genres. Because, you know, next thing you know, they come out and they get a little harder, and then they become a bit alternative and they do some stuff. And they were just amazing. They really were. And I look back at them and I think, wow, you know, there's a group. Are they in they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll check that.
I think they should.
I think they should be in the. If they're not, we got to get them in there.
Because I think I think he died right after the induction.
Yeah. Man, one of them was, who was it married to Molly Ringwald?
Like that one was, of them married Adam Horwitz.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald. I mean, yeah, Ad Rock. It was crazy. It was like, man, these guys are living the dream. If you're in Sweden and you're a man and you explain something to a woman that she may already know or may know more of, that's what they call mansplaining. You've been mansplained. And women don't like that at all, and they're pissed about it. Well, now they have Sweden's largest union. Is encouraging members to call up when male colleagues give them unsolicited lectures about stuff. And I thought this was bizarre, but we got a hold of somebody, and they actually let us listen in and tape one of the phone calls to give you an idea of what it's like to be mansplained, and then, you know, who and how you call and make a complaint. Take a listen.
Hello, there, mansplaining line.
Hello, mansplaining line. I've got a problem with the mansplaining.
Oh, for sure. What be your problem with the mansplaining?
Oh, this is crazy. But I was talking about Schleepadapa-Ubi and Upa-Upa-Upa-Upu, and of course with the Yerba-Herber.
Oh, of course with the Yerba-Herber, I see.
And then I was like a hoopty bun sloopty and slappy, and of course hoopty bun sleepy, and then I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he was, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah.
Oh, for sure, with the hoopty bun, sloopty bun, very much so. Yes, 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 yes. What about the meatballs?
Oh, they were everywhere. There were meatballs. And, of course, Abba was involved. Of course, there was. And
oh, for sure. What about the Volvo?
Of course, Volvo was involved as well as IKEA.
Oh, for sure. Did you talk about the hoopty, hoopty bun, hoopty, hoopty?
I did. But then he was like, hoopty bun, sloopty. And then I was like, oh, for sure, for sure.
Oh, very much so, very much so. Easy. Okay. Well, thank you for calling mansplaining line.
Okay. What are you going to do?
Thank you for calling mansplaining line. You've mansplained it to me enough.
Hello? 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 Oh, von soupty, von sleepty, von hoopty doop. Mansplaining hotline in my ass. Hoopty, von sloopty, von sleepty.
Oh. I don't even... Man, you got mansplained. And she then got hung up on. That ain't not cool. That is mansplainerific. Goodness me. By the way, I couldn't even imagine. Like, how would you even know? Like, this is the world we've set up now where you can offend somebody and you're probably not doing it on purpose. And then there's a line to call the bitch. Like, what are you going to do? And the funny thing is they've manned the line with psychologists, with researchers, with comedians. I don't know what's going to come out of it. I know a lot of good material will come out of it for them, but I'm sure they're trying to come to some resolution on how men speak to women in the workplace without mansplaining. Can we have that at home? Like, if a woman yells at you, like woman-splaining, woman-splain, probably woman-slapping is what it is, because they'll be slapping the hell out of us.
Oh, for sure.
Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Is your Twitter. Text the show, 323-538-2423,
323-538-2423. Oh, for sure.
By the way, they went into the Hall of Fame the day after he died. So talk about posthumously and sad. Poor Beastie Boys. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.